From the land of the Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the sixth day of July 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. A bit later, Matt Bennett will join us too from Bennett Consulting Gentle Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, to take a look at the cash grain side of the market. And along the way, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenora. T-storm weather in Chicago, hot, dry, wet. Where the weather will be, where the ridge will stay, are all important questions to ask, and Mike will help guide us through that process this afternoon during this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
How you doing, Todd?
Oh, I'm doing very well. First things first, you and Jerry Gulke are our guest on Commodity Week this week, and we've decided together that it might be important to delay that until the trade has completed the week and we have all the numbers in, just because there were some important technical things happening this week. So tomorrow, we'll talk to the two of you live during this hour at around 2:30 Friday afternoon, and then post it up to the website for Commodity Week. So those who are wanting to hear that program, it will be delayed, but for good reason, at least I think, and I guess you probably would think so too. But what really is the technical picture at this point? And you can start with the wheat, the corn, or the soybeans, whichever you find most of interest.
Well, I think corn and soybeans today was kind of a moral victory, given the overnight session of sharply lower prices. You know, beans managed their way to close a few pennies higher. Corn managed to just close a few pennies lower after some sharply lower declines that we saw in the overnight trade. Wheat futures, you know, up 20, down 20. Today we're down 20-something. I think for the most part, the way I would view it, the chart gaps that were left on Monday still remain in place. Now, corn futures, now these are weekly chart gaps, and they look to be measuring gaps. And this would be that would be like the halfway point of a move higher measured off of the most recent low. So corn came down in the overnight session and I think came within a half a cent or a quarter of a cent. I think it's still open, at least the way I eyeball in my chart here. So that remains open. Beans is comfortably open. Wheat today came down to the top end of that chart gap. So it's real important from a technical perspective, if this move is to continue higher, is to resume the upside and have a higher finish here on Friday afternoon. And that'll be what we'll be talking about, I guess, tomorrow afternoon on Commodity Week. But if those gaps remain open by the time we close on Friday, it still implies December corn can make a new high for the calendar year. And the high so far, I think, has been 409. If you use that gap that we had on Monday as a measuring gap, it kind of points to a move up there around 411, 412, 410, 414. Kind of take your pick. I don't want to put a solid number on it, but that is what that chart gap would imply on these corn. Now, on November soybeans, if the gap remains open and we close out the week with some higher numbers here tomorrow, that keeps the measuring gap of a move up to around 10-12, 10-13, 10-15, you know, plus or minus a nickel. I probably should say plus or minus 50 cents, but I'll stick with the nickel. Because weather markets are totally impossible to trade and to try to analyze and try to give someone some guidance on, because they are so sensitive to weather forecast changes and whatnot. And, you know, probably tomorrow's action will be sizing up the weather pattern that we've had for the week and whether or not Monday's rating levels will show improvement or show decline or show unchanged. And I would say the way the market is acting, I think the market kind of feels that this week so far, the crop probably has stayed unchanged, but we'll see what it thinks, you know, what the weather forecast will be for the weekend and next week. And I think that's the way the market will probably close tomorrow, whether or not it feels that the crop has gotten bigger or smaller or stayed unchanged, Todd.
How do you view the wheat market, especially the spring wheat? We've had this at least a few times in the past where there really isn't very much acreage in the United States. Short supply can come quite quickly, and this one did. Prior to the harvest, in fact, and now it's dissipated just as fast as it showed up nearly.
Well, the wheat market, I've been in this business, I don't know how many years, but it's well over 40. And wheat has always been a puzzlement to me to try to get your arms around, because every time you think you figured it out, it goes opposite of what you figured. So my guess is, the way the market moves today with expandable limits, and it doesn't take long to find tops and bottoms when you're, you know, in an expandable limit type situation. And then wheat has been quite volatile over the past week or so. And when you get the type of swings that you're getting in the wheat market, it usually implies the market is making some kind of short-term top. It doesn't necessarily mean it's making a top for the year. It may be the top for the year, but volatility is usually not indicative of a market that is going to go higher, because what's happening when you get into a volatile situation like that, you know, 20 higher, 20 lower, 30 higher, 30 lower, it increases margin requirements, and it just wears the patience of a lot of traders, and a lot of traders will just start exiting that market, and you're not getting any new buying in the market to drive it higher. So that's why a lot of times, when you get into a volatile situation, you always need to pay attention to it, because that is not really a good sign of a market that's in good hands or in solid hands. A market that's more orderly tells you that the longs are in control, and there's room for the market to move higher. Now, there's been a little volatility in corn and soybeans, but nothing like what we've seen in wheat. So, you know, corn and beans, I think, are still in kind of strong hands. The wheat market, I think, is probably in a little weaker hands, and it's highly speculative at the moment. So I guess we'll see what happens on wheat. But, you know, if we could manage a strong finish tomorrow, then I think the game is still in play. To try to go higher. And like I said, I think a lot of it will depend upon whether or not the crop is getting bigger or smaller, or is perceived to be getting bigger or smaller, you know, by the time the market closes tomorrow.
Okay, two more questions before I let you go. A lot of old crop corn still out there. Should producers take advantage now or very soon of the prices at this point, I suppose that's really asking whether you think it'll fade very quickly after, or if we meet that 412, 415 top in the December you're talked about.
I'm going to get into a little bit of that tomorrow. I'm going to go through all of my intermediate cycle positions and where I think we're at. And I'm going to let Gary kind of, or Jerry kind of handle all the fundamentals. And my initial answer to that would be stay patient yet. The market looks to me like we're going higher. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to get a good kick. And I mean, we could get a, you know, we can go in here and make a mid-July high or a July, you know, you got to be careful going into this crop report, because I don't think the crop report is going to reflect anything bearish, or I mean, bullish. I think probably the crop report will probably be viewed as disappointment or negative. So I would say if you've got old crop corn sitting in the in a commercial grain elevator, don't get caught like a lot of farmers did last year on the last day of September, either having to renew that storage or sell it out. And if you go back and look at the chart, that is when the market made a low, and we haven't really looked back since. So I would say between now and that July crop report, they need to peel out of some inventory, maybe still keep some Vegas inventory around, but you know, peel out of it. This is what weather markets are for, compared to, you know, where we were 60 days ago or 90 days ago, Todd.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I look forward to talking to you and to Jerry Gahlke tomorrow afternoon live on the air at 2:30 for Commodity Week.
Very well.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It came out on Wednesday because of the July 4th holiday. It shows that 10% of the corn crop is soaked across the nation. That's compared to the rolling five-year average of 13%. 68% of the crop is in good to excellent condition, up 1 point from last week, but well down from last year's 75%. At the same time, 98% of the soybeans have emerged. The rolling five-year average is 95%. 18% are blooming. Five-year average is 17%. 64% of the soybean crop is in good to excellent condition, down 2 points from last week, and 4 points short of last year's 70% standing. 53% of the winter wheat has been harvested around the nation. Up north, the spring wheat is in rough condition, as the markets have made pretty clear, with just 37% in the good and or excellent categories. That's down 3 points from last week and well off the previous year's 72% mark. Now, here are the state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana with updates from their regions.
This is Jacob Lyles, student intern for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Region. Iowa experienced scattered tornadoes, hail, and isolated precipitation, but reporters expressed need for more rain across much of the state during the week ending July 2nd. 2017, according to the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Topsoil moisture levels rated 27% short to very short, 68% adequate, and 5% surplus. Southeast Iowa's topsoil moisture levels fell for the sixth consecutive week, with 82% now rated short to very short. Most of Southeast Iowa was categorized as abnormally dry by the United States Drought Monitor, released June 27, 2017. Subsoil moisture levels rated 19% short to very short, 77% adequate, and 4% surplus. 78% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Soybean emergence is nearly complete. Soybean blooming reached 12% complete, 3 days behind last year and 2 days behind average. Soybean condition rated 72% good to excellent. Oats headed reached 94% this week, 1 day ahead of the five-year average. Pasture condition continues to decline, with 63% good to excellent. I am Jacob Lyles, student intern for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cooler than normal and generally drier than average as well. Temperatures ranged from 3 degrees below normal to nearly 5 degrees colder than average. Rainfall was slightly above normal in northern and eastern areas of Illinois, but below average in the rest of the state. Overall, the state received an average of nearly 7/10 of an inch of rain last week, which is 3/10 of an inch below normal. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 3% very short, 25 short, 69 adequate, and 3% surplus, which is drier than 1 week ago. There were 5.8 days suitable for field work around the state last week. Wheat harvest advanced by 12 points and is now 90% complete. That compares to 88% 1 year ago and 72% for the 5-year average. 15% of soybean acres are now blooming, compared to 16% last year and 15% normally. The condition of soybeans across Illinois was rated 8% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 22% fair and 70% good to excellent, the same as 1 week ago. For corn, 12% of acres are now silking, compared to 19% 1 year ago and 21% normally. The condition of the Illinois corn crop was rated 8% very poor to poor, 27% fair, and 65% good to excellent, an improvement from the previous week. Pasture conditions are now rated 3% very poor to poor, 28% fair, and 69% good to excellent, an improvement from 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Despite the overall unseasonably cool and damp weather throughout Minnesota, there were 4.8 days suitable for field work during the week. Field activities included spraying herbicides and cutting hay. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 8% short, 87% adequate, and 4% surplus. Corn condition improved slightly from the previous week with a rating of 80% good to excellent. However, soybean crop conditions declined slightly to a rating of 72% good to excellent. 9% of soybeans were at or beyond the blooming stage this week. Most Minnesota small grains were at or beyond the jointing stage. Spring wheat crop was 98% jointed and beyond, with 72% headed. The spring wheat crop condition rated 86% good to excellent. The second cutting of alfalfa hay progressed to 44% complete. All hay condition was rated 85% good to excellent. Pasture conditions were rated at 76% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Scattered storms swept across the state, bringing additional relief to drought-stressed crops. But localized heavy downpours led to ponding in several fields. Corn was 8% silked compared to 10% last year and 11% 5-year average. Corn rated in good to excellent condition was 53% in the north, 42% in central, and 46% in the south. Soybeans blooming were at 14% compared to 15% last year and 16% 5-year average. Soybeans rated in good to excellent condition were 59% in the north, 47% in central, and 51% in the south. Winter wheat was 93% mature compared to 91% last year. Winter wheat was 56% harvested compared to 59% last year and 50% 5-year average. The recent rains have helped to even out growth in cornfields, although some of the crop was in standing water. Some soybeans have begun to yellow in fields with excess moisture, and some were concerned about recently planted double cropped and replanted first crop soybeans being submerged in ponded fields. Several diseases have begun to appear in fields, including Diplodia leaf streak, northern corn leaf blight, Holcus leaf spot, and Phytophthora. Herbicide applications went on fields whenever the weather permitted, although some growers were having trouble controlling palmer, mare's tail, and various thistles. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 2, 2017. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Well, let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is here from Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. I know it rained to the south of us. Did you pick any of that rain up in the last 24 hours?
Yeah, actually, we had a pretty good shower. I know everybody probably doesn't want to hear that, but didn't get a shower. It's a pretty tough time of year to miss one, but we were very fortunate in that we had a really good shower about 8:30 last night at home. And I don't know, in 20 minutes or so, I had about a half an inch. So it rained awfully hard. Didn't get too much wind, thank goodness. But woke up this morning, I had about an inch and three tenths in the gauge. So we felt great about that. We had anywhere from 2 tenths to actually a little over 2 inches on a couple of our southernmost farms.
I went to Peoria and back this morning, and just from the windshield, things look good from here to there, too. However, it's pretty variable. USDA still saying that, 68% of the crop in corn is good to excellent. And that was up 1 point from last week. You stand by that one or not?
I was surprised, last week that we actually didn't increase last week, 67%, 67%. And then this week we actually increased 1%. I don't know. It's kind of a head scratcher to me. Not sure I totally buy into that. But either way, this crop is definitely not quite on par as what we've been here in the last couple of years. There's a lot of issues here and there. I talk to producers all over the Corn Belt, and I've got friends in the Dakotas that are telling me that they're not going to have any corn this year if something doesn't change quickly. So I do think that it's going to be really tough to get the trend line yields. I really have a hard time believing that's going to happen.
So what do you think of this last couple of days or several days of trade?
Well, after the report came out, my initial reaction is, oh shoot, this wasn't exactly the most friendly of reports, as far as the corn market was concerned. Whenever you looked at the soybean market, actually, the report for the soybeans, it was friendly, I guess, but it was, I think part of the reason that it was viewed as so friendly is because it was so much better than what people thought it might be. And so bottom line, whenever you take the market on soybeans so much higher, is a big reason why you're able to see this corn market kind of be able to catch a little bit of a fire as well. And so very pleased, I guess, with what we've seen since Friday. For those people who were really thinking that they'd missed the boat a week ago today, we need to be cautious as to get too friendly to the market at this point whenever you're seeing corn and beans rally significantly.
Well, so you're going to make new crop soybean sales and old crop corn sales?
Well, I think that a producer that needs to catch up on those bean sales, by all means, pushing up on $10, I think it makes really good sense to step in and do something. As far as your corn situation goes, a lot of the guys that we had that bought those courage calls whenever the market was dead, I want to go ahead and make sales above $4 on all of the bushels that I've got covered with the courage calls. I think it's a good place to be. Most of the producers we work with can make money basis aboard above $4. It gets a little tight in some situations, but regardless, it's significantly better than the 375 to 380 that we were looking at a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Bottom line is we've gotten a good rally, and we probably shouldn't be ignoring it.
That's Matt Bennett with Bennett Consulting. This is the Closing Market Report. Find us online at willag.org. Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather is now here out of Chicago. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. Where do we want to start this afternoon? Looks like there are some changeable weather patterns.
We're kind of in a transitional period between what will be a fairly cool period over the next couple of days to what will be a notably warmer period starting up on Sunday and Monday. The big question becomes, who will see rain from this pattern? Because there are some people that do need rain. Most of those areas are in Iowa, Illinois, and also the Plain States. Once you get to the north and to the east of Illinois, it's been at least seasonably wet over the last 20 to 30 days. So not a whole lot of concern in most of those states as far as rainfall goes. But what is going to end up happening is that we'll see this large upper level high that's off to the west and creating the drought in the northern plains expand onto the east. Now, that will end up turning the plains much warmer and most likely drier than normal by the time we get into the first part of next week. So these states of the Dakotas, extending southward through Nebraska and points onto the south, stay fairly dry and also experience heat next week. As we move to the east, though, this is where the forecast is much more challenging and also critical. The weather that happens next week and over the following week will end up determining a lot for this year's corn and soybean crops. The way it looks right now, we'll end up seeing high temperatures pop into the 90s across much of the Corn Belt, at least on a few days, starting up next week on Monday and Tuesday. That will set the stage for some thunderstorm clusters. Those storms will most likely set up from somewhere in Minnesota, east-southeast through parts of Illinois and Indiana. If those were to shift a little bit further to the south, that would affect a lot more corn and soybeans and essentially wipe out many of the dryness issues that we have at the moment. But the most likely scenario at this point is for that rainfall to stay off to the north. So that is one of the key events we have to monitor. Once we get beyond next week, we have one more thing to watch, and that regards what happens to this heat. We know we'll see some heat next week, and that's part of the reason we'll see some thunderstorms. You could argue either way for that heat to shift back to the west and then leave the Corn Belt seasonable to cool with a few thunderstorms here and there. But you could also argue for the heat to simply remain in place or even shift a little bit further to the east, which would result in a notably drier and warmer pattern. All of this uncertainty begins around Friday and Saturday of next week, right at the middle of the month. So, Todd, we think this is a key weather event for the corn and soybean growing season, because depending on exactly where the rain happens next week, and then depending on exactly where that goes, you could either end up seeing pretty decent growing conditions for corn and soybeans, or a very unfavorable setup. Which one is going to win is going to take a few days to determine, and unfortunately, here on Thursday, we just don't know the answers.
One other quick question, Mike. If I recall correctly, it's not all that unusual for these ridges to move and shift from east to west. What is it that you look for that tells you that they're going to make a move?
Well, you can look at a bunch of different computer models and get some idea of what's going to happen, at least in the near term. And everything we look at points to an expansion of heat once we get into early next week. That's only 3 to 4 days from now, so that part of the forecast we have a lot of confidence in. But what ends up shifting these highs to the east or to the west, as you mentioned, pretty much comes down to where the thunderstorms that are associated with it form. If those storms were to stay far to the north, say they end up hitting Minnesota and then ride through the Great Lakes and don't dive southward into the Corn Belt, well, then we would have a high pressure area that essentially is keeping all of the rainfall away from it, and that will keep the high in place and basically leave it in place over the Corn Belt or the Plains, either one of which would not be a good scenario for corn and soybeans. But if those storms were to somehow dive straight south into the high, that's where the high gets disrupted. It starts to look jagged on weather maps as opposed to a nice solid ball. And when you have a jagged looking area of upper level high pressure, that means there's little features that are poking into it, and those are the thunderstorms. And when these thunderstorms poke into it, they can actually cause a high to just move away. So everything is going to come down to these thunderstorms next week, and we just don't know how they'll behave until this setup is actually in place, which doesn't start for a few days.
Thanks, Mike, for the explanation. Look forward to talking with you again next week.
You're welcome, Todd. There was a lot to talk about and a lot of interesting stuff going on, but hopefully that helps you out at a critical juncture here.
Indeed it does, Mike. Mike Tenora, of course, with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.